We're ready to go, Mr. Paulson.
Huh? Oh, fine, Ed. Everything all set, Charlie?
All set, Mr. Paulson.
Stand by. 5-second warning, Ed.
Warning on, sir.
Generator.
Warming.
Power.
Power on, sir. Running smoothly, sir.
Yes. Well, here we go again.
Do you want me to call him this time?
No, thanks anyway, Ed. I'll do it. You're sure the setup
is... I checked it myself, Mr. Paulson. Everything's ready.
Well, I suppose I'd better get him then. Somehow, this is the part I always hate.
From the University of North Carolina, the Communications Center presents a special program written for radio by John Clayton and produced as a portion of the ceremonies dedicating the new university station, WUNC. This is a show about a man who wants to broadcast over the air, about any man, about every man. About all men who have ever dedicated a program, inaugurated a show, gone on the air for the first time. We don't know his name, the name of every man, but this show is about him. Everything's ready, Mr. Paulson.
Thanks, Ed. I suppose I'd better get him then. Somehow, this is the part I always hate.
Yeah. What's this one's name?
Name? Old Jones Smith, I don't know. It doesn't really matter, does it?
No, I suppose not.
Well, might as well take the plunge.
Mr. Paulson.
Yes?
Good luck.
Thanks, Ed.
Could come in?
We're ready for you now, sir.
Oh, well, fine. Then we're all ready to begin.
Yes, sir.
Well, how do I look?
You look fine, sir.
I'd wondered about the coat. It may be...
No one will be able to see you.
Oh, yes. Silly of me. Well, shall we proceed?
Certainly, sir. Right this way.
Mr. Paulson.
Yes?
What's that noise?
Noise?
A kind of humming.
Oh, that's the power building up. Takes a lot, you know.
Dangerous?
It can be used dangerously. Over this way?
We're all ready for you, sir. This is your chair here.
Huh? Thank you, Ed. This it on the table?
Yes, sir. You turn the switch there to activate it.
I see.
Okay, Mr. Paulson?
Yes, Ed. That's fine. Thank you. Anytime you're ready to begin, sir.
Very well. This is quite a moment, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, here we go. What's that ticking?
Time, sir. Time. An integral characteristic of any device whose operation or function is dependent upon continuous and artificially induced nutrition.
What?
It became a factor as soon as you turned that switch.
Oh.
You're on now.
Oh, yes. Hello? Hello? Testing. 1, 2,
sir,
three.
Sir, we've tested the equipment. You're on. Go ahead.
Oh, well. It's a little strange to be, Are you sure anyone can hear me?
Sir, to the best of my knowledge, there are 220 million radio sets in operation. Hmm? Somebody's listening.
Yes, well... Well, I can't see you, you know. I guess you can't see me either. I don't know really what to say. It isn't, that is, well, you see... I just felt that I had to talk to you, you know? I don't know what about exactly, but I just felt that... Well, it's such a wonderful thing. Here I am talking to you. Whoever you may be, wherever you may be, I'm talking to you. You can hear me. It's such a wonderful... Mr. Paulson, help me. I can't think of anything to say.
I'm sorry, sir.
I don't even know if they can understand me.
We're only allowed to build the machinery.
What they want to hear.
Time. You're on, you know.
It's all so new.
50 years.
I know, but still, it's new to me.
They're waiting, sir. 220 million sets. They're waiting.
They'll have to wait. You're rushing me. I can't think. Turn it off.
What?
Turn it off. Where's the switch? Here. It won't turn. Why can't I turn it?
It won't work that way.
What do you mean? I turned it on? Turn it off.
We can't. Don't you understand that?
Well, then pull out a plug.
Sir, listen to me. You're on the air. Do you understand me? You're on the air.
We can't stop?
Time. You can't stop time, you know.
I'm on for good?
Or for evil? You have that choice.
That isn't what I meant.
I know, but it's the only choice you have once you're on.
I need time to think.
Yes.
Just for a minute.
A long time.
1 minute.
25 round trips to the moon in a minute at the speed of radio.
Stop talking nonsense. I tell you, I need to pause to hold things up for a minute. I'm not ready.
Impossible.
There must be some way. You can't expect me to sit here forever.
Oh, no, not you. You're here only for a moment. But radio goes on from man to man, from moment to moment. And what you create this moment becomes the heritage of the next, a heritage to be built upon or salvaged.
Let someone else take my place.
You wish to quit?
To step aside for a moment.
You may not get a second chance. The competition is keen.
I'll take the risk.
You can just keep talking, you know.
About what?
Put on music.
What kind?
Provide entertainment.
What for?
Isn't it enough for you that you're on the air? Isn't that what you wanted?
Yes, I wanted that. I wanted to broadcast, to drive a tower like a stake into the heart of the sky and set the air quivering with sound. Don't ask me why. It's a feeling you get. Something you have to do. To whisper and to feel it shriek through space, hurtle continents, plunge with microcosmic accuracy. To touch with feather lightness the lonely ear of some unknown soul before your lips are even closed. Each syllable a miracle in space. I thought that would be enough.
You find it isn't?
It's not enough for me.
Ed?
You call, Mr. Paulson?
Take over the microphone, please.
But isn't Mr.?
The gentleman wants to reconsider.
Oh, yes.
It's a dedication. New station. You know the type.
Fanfare, speeches, that sort of thing?
Yes, you'll need a celebrity or two. Congratulations, comedians, you know.
All right, Mr. Paulson. Excuse me, sir.
Oh, certainly. Here, sit down.
Thank you.
Shall we go, sir?
I'd like to hear him begin, if I may.
Surely. All right, Ed.
Ready, sir? Ready on music. Cue.
From the University of North Carolina, the Communications Center presents a special program written for radio by John Clayton and produced as a portion of the ceremonies dedicating the new university station, WUNC.
He does it awfully well, doesn't he?
He's done it before. Shall we go into my office, sir?
The presentation of a new station is always something of an occasion. And this evening is no exception. With us this evening to help inaugurate station WUNC are Raymond Osmus, Stephen.
Will you sit over there, sir?
Yes, thank you.
What's the matter?
Pretty sorry beginning, wasn't it?
Oh, not so bad.
I must have sounded pretty stupid.
I've heard worse.
I don't know what happened. I felt fine, and somehow when I sat down in front of the mic, I couldn't.
Mic fright?
No, not like that. Maybe it was what you said about people listening. How many?
We don't know.
No, you said some figure.
220 million sets in operation?
Yes, that was it. It jolted me. I began to think, who am I? What right have I to address 220 million? What right have I got to seek them out, hammer at them in bus terminals, track them in aeroplanes, follow them across the sea? What right have I got to go into their homes?
They can always turn you off.
Yes, they can always shut the door in my face. But what right did I have to go there in the first place?
Didn't they turn you on? Weren't you invited?
Yes. A blind date. What were they expecting? What did they get? A stuttering idiot.
And now?
And now I want to think. But where to begin?
Why, where else but the beginning? In the beginning there was space and time. In the beginning was a Scotchman.
James Clark Maxwell. My friends call me Dafty. Some dropped the Y after I published my theory. A theory that light and electricity travel in waves through the ether. That was in 1873.
Thought about electromagnetic rays. reflected on the electromagnetic theory of light. Heard at Maxwellian electromagnetics in the evening. Nothing but electromagnetics.
The German Heinrich Hertz writing in his diary. 1885, a dozen years have passed. Now for the next 2 years, experiment after experiment is performed. Finally, in the school laboratory, working with homemade equipment, the first wireless wave leaps into space.
It works. It works. Through the ether it travels. Think of it. A distance of 40 feet.
Further than that, Heinrich Hertz. Further than that. Not with the speed of light, perhaps, but the word got around. News traveled and resulted in a young man flying a kite in Newfoundland, December 12, 1901. A cold month, December, in Newfoundland. And the coldest spot in Newfoundland is doubtlessly on a high hill just outside of St. John's, where the old military barracks used to be. Cold, windy. Not the place you'd expect to see Guglielmo Marconi from sunny Italy flying a kite.
How much line is out now, Mr. Kemp?
400 feet, sir.
Time?
10 of 12, sir.
20 minutes. I thought it hours at least. Hours and not a sound. Perhaps we need more aerial.
That's all she'll carry, Mr. Marconi. Takes a stiff wind to keep her up as it is. Maybe
shh,
if...
Shh, shh.
Hear something?
Shh. The time, Mr. Kemp.
8 minutes of 12, sir. Did you...
No. No, Mr. Kemp, nothing. Nothing yet.
Marconi and his assistants waited for a sound. A sound that was to come 1,700 miles across open sea from the southwest tip of England. Here at Poldhu, Cornwall, 20 masts, each 200 feet high, had been constructed, built to support an immense aerial that was to hurl 20,000 volt surges of power in bursts of three out into space. By prearranged agreement, the signals were to begin at 11:30, continue until 2:30 each day. For almost an hour, the signals had pulsed steadily out, the operator using a 3-foot lever for a key. Three dots and a pause. Three dots and a pause. Three dots and a pause. The letter S, over and over again, spinning off into space, racing against time to find a cobweb of wire drifting 400 feet over a windswept hill in Newfoundland. Three dots growing fainter, fainter.
Time, Mr. Kemp.
12:30, sir.
An hour. How far can the signal travel in an hour? Past us, I fear.
Marconi sighs, presses the earphones closer to his ears, stamps his feet against the cold earth, and stares at nothing. Patience, Mr. Marconi. Patience. Only a moment more, and history will be made. Man is about to communicate instantaneously with man across the open sea. Surely a speech has been prepared for this moment. The words formed 1,000 times in the imagination, the stance practiced, the expression rehearsed. And now it comes, faintly, oh so faintly. The 20,000 volts dwindled to the feeblest of tiny clicks. 1, 2, 3. Do you hear it? Listen again. 1, 2, 3. Slowly, the earphones are removed. The assistant watches, not daring to breathe. Failure? Success? What will Mr. Marconi say?
Can you hear anything, Mr. Kemp?
Yes. It is very hard to believe. Five years later, the human voice. Reginald A. Fessenden at Brant Rock, Massachusetts, speaks into the microphone. Feeling the solemnity of the occasion and wishing to demonstrate the versatility of the new medium, Mr. Fessenden has brought a record player, a violin, and a Bible. The medium is only 30 seconds old when programming and the amateur hour are born. It is Christmas Eve, 1906. A few friends, some key scientific personnel are present. The broadcast begins with a Morse code signal, CQ, CQ. There are no home receivers, of course, but ships and interested amateurs are equipped with wireless receiving sets for Morse code. Aboard every ship there is a wireless room now. Operators are at their posts, listening to the machine gun pattern of dots and dashes with earphones. A few have been warned what to expect this evening. Many have not. The shock is real.
Captain! Captain, sir! Wake up, Captain!
All right, stop that infernal Sparks, what on earth is the matter?
Sir, the wireless room. You've got to come. It's a voice. Plain as day, you can hear it.
What are you talking about?
A voice over the earphones. You can hear it talking.
Oh, nonsense.
Sir, I heard it. It's talking to the first officer right now.
What?
Yes, sir. Mr. Welks thought I was drunk, so I gave him the earphones.
Well, we'll see about that.
When I left, he was just frozen, he was. Didn't move an inch. He's begun to twitch.
Mr. Welks. Was he twitching like that when you left?
Hadn't moved an inch.
It seems mainly to have affected his feet. Mr. Welks.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Aye, sir. I mean, well, that is, it's music, sir. Just as plain as day.
Music?
It was a voice when I heard it, so help me, it was.
Oh, here, give me those phones, Mr. Welks.
A violin it was, sir. Here you are.
If this is a conspiracy at humor, it's in very poor taste. This is Christmas Eve, you know. It's not April the... Why, it's amazing.
A voice? Music?
Both. Someone was singing O Holy Night, and then...
And then?
A voice said, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill.
Captain?
Yes, Mr. Welks?
Is it a miracle?
Why, I don't know, Mr. Welks. But surely very like one.
In the beginning was Maxwell, the Scotchman, who had a theory which was demonstrated by Hertz, the German, which led the Italian Marconi to incorporate some improvements by the Frenchman Branly, with a device invented by the American, Morse, and by the aid of the Englishman, Lodge, develop a system which, with a refinement by the Canadian, Fessenden, and the American, Alexanderson, resulted in the first broadcast. Radio had been invented. That was the beginning.
Quite a story.
Yes.
What's it all mean?
You mean, what's worth remembering about it?
Why, yes, I suppose so.
Why, I should say two things are worth remembering, sir. The first you will find listed among the memorable dates. December 24th, 1906, the first broadcast was made. That's the first thing to remember. The second you won't find listed anywhere. It is what was said. That isn't listed. No one remembers. And that is worth remembering, too.
I'm not sure I understand you.
When you went on the air 50 years ago, that was enough. You'd accomplished something. When you go on the air today, you've done what 800,000 people have done before you. You're on the air. So what?
I'm afraid I'll never feel that way about it. I'm afraid I'll never forget the miracle. That if for 1,000 dawns I play a scratch shadow of the national anthem, and gulp black coffee to burn out the fog of an early morning throat, and chirp cheery greetings to a chilled and hostile world, if for a lifetime I go on the air each day, I'll not forget the miracle of it. The power I command...
The thrill wears thin, believe me. The sense of power disappears, unless...
Unless?
There's understanding, too.
What is there to understand, really, beyond I speak and thousands hear my voice?
Why, that, and a little more. But when you're on the air, you're an architect, limited in what you can build not by material or budget, but only by your power to imagine. You've become an engineer who can send a locomotive echoing past the windows of 1,000 homes. A general who can create armies at an instant, fight battles in a moment, end them at a command. It means you're an artist with a canvas that stretches from Manteo to the Magellanic Clouds, holding a paintbrush dipped in the Aurora Borealis, washed in the Marianas Trench, dried in the Gobi. It means you're a musician who can lift Beethoven from a lacquered groove, conjure a barn dance on a turntable. It means you're an actor, and yea, verily, all the world's a stage. Understanding means that, and a little more. It means a question, too.
Yes, I know. You push a switch, and there's a miracle. Now, what are you going to do?
Any answers?
What am I going to do? That's the only question I can answer, isn't it? Why, I'm going on the air from here on out. And at the end of the day, after all the copy is filed, the log is finished, the station shut down, at the end of the day, I'll think about all that went on, think about my life that day. Was it a memorable date? Was there something to remember? A record, speech, a bit of news, a drop of humor? Was there something to remember? Was it mine?
We're ready for you now, sir.
Huh? Oh, well, fine. How do I look?
You look fine, sir.
I wondered about the coat. It may be a
little... No one will be able to see you.
Oh, yes, silly of me. Well, shall we proceed?
Certainly, sir. Right this way.
And as a portion of the dedication ceremony, Station WUNC has invited... Oh, excuse me. Right this way, sir. We're all ready for you. Now, if you'll just sit down right here, sir. All right, you're on the air.
Thank you, Ed. Ladies and gentlemen, others will speak to you this evening of the role that radio may play in our lives. I should like to speak to you of the role our lives can play in radio. It is a way to make a living, of course, just as preaching or teaching or digging ditches is a way to make a living. But it's a little hard to dedicate a life just to keeping alive. Somehow, most of us think there must be something more to life, something more to radio than that. What it is may be a little hard to say. Probably it's different with different people. Letting radio play a part in the life of the community so that the life of the community becomes everybody's part to play. Letting each of us hear the best that the other has to offer, whether in government or sport or music or how to get a green thumb. Bringing church together with home. Hearing how the 4-H Club is doing, giving a belly laugh to the man who's had a tough day at the office. Introducing Shakespeare, Schubert, or the champion square dance team from Canton. Taking a teacher to a student 150 miles from a classroom. Spreading the good news. There are many things to be done. A lot of them are worth doing. For life.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the University of North Carolina, the Communications Center has presented a special program written and directed by John Clayton as a portion of the ceremonies and dedication of Station WUNC. Now here to speak for WUNC is Station Manager John Young.
Thank you, Carl. This interpretation of the responsibilities of broadcasters is an inspiring challenge to all of us. Now, in the remaining time which the broadcasters of North Carolina have made available to us for this statewide network, I'd like for you to meet some of our distinguished guests here in the studio. Our own Chancellor Robert Burton House is here with us and will welcome you in behalf of the university. Chancellor House.
As Chancellor of the University, I have the pleasure of hearing myself address innumerable groups, but this is a rare privilege tonight, addressing three groups at once. And three groups, I may add, each of which is close to my heart. The first of these is a group of visitors to our campus and our guests at this ceremony, members of the Southern Region of the National Association of Educational Broadcasters, here on a working conference. The second group I love is also here in Studio A with us. I mean the people who put WUNC on the air, most of them students. We love them because they are our students. They are, in a real sense, the university. They are the future of our state and country. We love them because they have selflessly dedicated themselves to this task of radio service, and we are proud of them for it. The third group is our radio audience, North Carolinians, by their receivers all over the state, listening to this ceremony over one of the many commercial stations generously carrying it. To you out there in our great state, who send your sons and daughters to us, who have built this university and made its latest child, WUNC, possible, we send our love and a promise. This station shall be dedicated to your service, to helping us all achieve a fuller, richer, happier life.
Thank you, Mr. House. We here at the university have always benefited from the most complete cooperation from the commercial broadcasters of North Carolina. And no man has ever been more constant friend of ours than Frank Jarman of WDNC in Durham. He's here tonight representing the North Carolina Association of Broadcasters.
Thank you, John. We welcome WUNC into radio transmission just as we have welcomed your programs on our stations for many years. Yes, we welcome you because we know that you have something to offer the radio listeners, and we want the listeners to be the happiest people in the world. The more the listener has to select from, the more he'll listen, and the more he listens, the better he'll like our medium. We welcome WUNC as a broadcaster because we know this will make it easier for us to pick up and rebroadcast your productions. And now for a third reason, the broadcasters welcome WUNC, for we realize that it provides fine training for the young men and women who will be operating our radio stations in North Carolina in the years to come. Yes, speaking on behalf of the broadcasters of this state, I want to say that we are proud of this new educational broadcast facility, and we wish you the very utmost success in this new venture.
Thank you, Mr. Jarman. We consider ourselves extremely fortunate to have with us for our dedication ceremonies the more than 40 participants in the National Association of Educational Broadcasters workshop and seminar currently in session here at our own communication center. The NAEB is virtually the backbone of all educational broadcasters, and it is my privilege to introduce to you the president of that organization, Mr. Graydon Osmus of the University of Alabama.
Thanks, John. Like Mr. Jarman, I too shall be brief. And I would like to congratulate you on the wonderful spirit of cooperation which he expressed. We who are educational broadcasters are trying to supply a service which is not remunerative in the monetary sense, and so cannot be afforded by those who must answer to stockholders and boards of directors. But the service is profitable in the sense that an educated people is the most valuable resource which a state can have. This great university has long been a beacon light of learning, not only for our beloved South, but for the entire nation. Now it has taken up a new way to spread the light, the miracle of Mr. Clayton's play, with radio a new tool in the endless, exciting, miraculous struggle in behalf of learning. Educational broadcasters know that you'll do it well. We've been thanked for our help. I'd like to say only thanks for joining us. It's very satisfying to have the University of North Carolina with us.
Thank you, Graydon. WUNC is unique in that its staff is composed of a group of the most dedicated students that can be found anywhere. They put us on the air. They deserve the credit. Tom Carroll is manager of that student staff, and I want you to meet him.
Thank you, Mr. Young. I feel somehow rather inadequate in the job of speaking in behalf of all of us who have gotten together as students to staff WUNC. Each one has contributed his or her part voluntarily, and the rewards are there. For we are learning by doing, and are in the unique position of being experienced men and women in the radio industry even before finishing school. I think I would faithfully represent the sentiment of all of my fellow workers if I were to urge that those who are in a position to influence the support and the advancement of this project do so as fully as possible, so that those who come to follow us here in the Department of Radio will have the same opportunity which has meant so much to those of us who have given it its first life. Finally, a brief but sincere word of thanks to all of my fellow workers on WUNC for taking the interest they have and for making my job comparatively easy by holding up their load.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks, too, to all of you who have made radio station WUNC possible. A day of broadcasting wouldn't be long enough to name all of you. For you, let me dedicate WUNC to the service of the university and the people of North Carolina.
This special program dedicating the new university station WUNC has come to you from the Communications Center studios of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.